Okay, today is February 19th.
February 19th.
And I'm talking with Tom Vu. How do you pronounce your name?
Yeah, Tom.
About the Hmong book. And do I have your permission?
Yes.
And if you could state your whole name.
Yeah. My name is Tom Vu. We are now in the Hmong Family Association of Lansing.
And how long have you been in Michigan?
I came to the United States since 1978, November 1978.
And can you tell me a little bit about, I guess there are two pieces. One, okay. A little bit about your story now, and then about the Hmong community.
Okay. Before I came to the United States, I'm a student at the university in Laos, and I speak English a little bit in Laos.
What city is this or town?
Longchang.
L-O-N-G.
L-O-N-G and C-H-I-E-N-G.
Okay.
The city of Longchang. And I speak a little bit English in Laos, and when we came to, I came to Thailand and in 1977, October 15, 1977, I was in Camp
Bandinai, not Nong Khai. B-A. Camp,
C-A-M.
But the name is
The Camp Nong Khai, N-E-N-O-N. G Kai K H K A I.
This is where you were?
That's the camp that we came to.
In Thailand.
Thailand. Okay.
Okay. But you were born in Laos?
I was born in Laos.
Okay.
And when we came to Thailand, camp Nong Khai, and then I took the English class in camp. So after that, I taught English a little bit for the Hmongs, refugees, the camp. But I don't have a chance to live in the camp for long. But I stay in the camp like 2 years.
How long?
Like 2 years. 78, I came to 79. They came to me in 2 years in the camp.
And why Michigan? That's the I know many went to Wisconsin,
yeah,
and Minnesota and California. So how did you?
Michigan is beautiful, and the summertime. I love Michigan weather. And when we went up to Upper Peninsula, I loved it.
But when you were in Thailand,
mm-hmm.
How did?
When
were
we
religious organizations, or you already had relatives here?
My when I came here in Lansing, we only have a 10 family, Hmong family in Lansing.
Ah, so you're one of the first. See, that's what I'm really interested in.
Okay, and
there were 10 families before
ten
you.
10 families before me.
Before you?
Yeah, before me. I can't have been single at that time, I tell you. I married in the United States.
Okay,
and so when we came here, we have a few families, so the family, they are young, and we didn't know anything about Hmong culture and what we're gonna do. We don't know what we're gonna do with their like a Hmong culture, like a New Year celebration, something like that. We don't know what, we didn't know what to do because we are young.
How old were you?
At that time, I'm 18. And the older ones only like 25 and 30 years old. And my first came here.
Your first?
My first came here.
Oh,
like
yeah.
The first
okay,
day.
When you first came.
Yeah. My first came here is in November, and when I got here, there's a lot of snow, and you know, the trees are no leaves, just like that. So I feel like they are all burnt out.
You felt how?
Like all the leaves are burnt out. Yeah, very different from our country because our country is a rainforest.
It loves.
Yeah. Love is a rainforest.
Mm-hmm.
And just like summertime around here, the temperature on November and December, the temperatures are around 40 degrees
mm-hmm.
and up. And my first 10 years, my older brother, he was here.
He was already
here? Yeah, so I come along by myself. My older brother, he's already here. And when I got here, I just speak English a little bit, and I took English as a second language
mm-hmm.
for a year, and after that, I went to work for LCC
mm-hmm.
as an instructor to teach the non-speaking English letters. English as a second language.
Is that where you had also studied English as a second language
yeah,
in LCC?
Yeah, and I teach them too.
Mm-hmm.
I taught those non-speaking. And then I worked for LCC for about a year, and my boss, he went to Michigan State University. And after he graduated from Michigan State University, and he told me that he's gonna left the job because he went back to Laos. He's an American, but he used to be an instructor in professor in Laos, taught English over there. So when the company took over Laos, and he came back here, and then. Get her his degree and he went back to Laos. So our job should end on that day.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Then after that, I got another job with Dr. Whitmore in UOM and another. The duty that I did that, just go door to door and interview the refugee. See, yeah.
So I'm interviewing
yeah,
you, or
yeah,
so you know what I'm doing.
Right. So I went around to meet.
And what were you trying to find out?
When that time, trying to find out how the difference from United States and Laos.
What was this Dr. Whitmore's profession?
Yeah, Dr. Whitmore, he's an instructor in that university.
But in, like, anthropology or sociology?
Yeah. I didn't ask him about that.
Uh-huh.
Because I lived here, and then drove over there and worked with him, and then...
Was he doing like a research project?
Right. He didn't act out researching. Researching the refugee in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a draw back and forth every day.
And when you were in Thailand, was it through what kind of an organization facilitated or helped you come with some of the religious organizations were involved, the government was involved?
Yeah, when I was in Thailand, I'm not talking about the monk right now, I'm talking about the program that they are came to Thailand and interviewed the people.
Mm-hmm.
When we live in Thailand, the Catholic social service and Lutheran social service. Yeah, they are accept the refugee who came from Laos to the United States. And myself, the Catholic Social Service, the sponsor myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in back in now, I mean, step back to Thailand again.
Okay.
When we live in, when we were in Thailand, we have a non-profit organization we formed in the camp. And but that time we are, you know, we don't have anything, so we don't have money, we don't have anything. So we contact our relatives in the United States who came before that. And they support us. So we are formed a small non-profit, but just we have no bylaw, nothing,
mm-hmm.
just overall said, you are the boss and
mm-hmm.
just like that. Because back in Laos, mostly we don't have a bylaw. because our people back in Laos, we don't, most of the people, they don't know how to read and write.
Mm-hmm.
Just some of them.
But wasn't it like maybe in the 1950s that people started to write?
Since 1960. And General Wang Hao became the leader of the army.
What does this say? I've read about him, but it's General Ben.
General Wang Hao.
Ben.
Who just passed away.
Right.
Yeah. Then V-A-N. V-A-N-G. And Pao.
Okay.
Yeah.
P-A.
P-A-O.
Okay.
Since he became a leader of the army, since that, the monk, he encouraged the monks, girl and boy, went to school. Before that, Hmong girl or Hmong woman never went to school. They only some other men or some of men went to school.
And when you went from Laos to Thailand, were you able to go with your whole family, or you went yourself, or you?
That moment that we came to Thailand, I came by myself with the army.
Were you actually in the army?
Yeah, involved with that.
And what year again was that?
That's in 1977.
So had you actually then fought in the war?
Right, and then escaped to escaped to Thailand.
So you didn't have your family with you?
No. That after that, my parents still way back to Siang Kuang.
How do you spell?
X I E N G K one word.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. K R H O U A Angie.
Is this where you were born?
Yes.
And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
My dad have three wives.
Okay.
Because, but not at the same time, because my mom passed away and he remarried another. And we are not. My mom, we have three brothers. And after my mom passed away, and he remarried another woman, she have another three boys.
A lot of boys.
Yeah, and she brought a little girl from another husband. So now we have six brothers and one sister, one step sister. But our culture, we never call step.
We never
call step brother or step sister.
Okay.
Our culture, yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So we just call brother and sister.
So, I think that's better.
Yeah. And we never called stepmother or something like that.
So you were very young when you started fighting?
Yeah, yeah. I'm
How old were you?
At that time, she was 15. I'm 15 years old.
And also, if you don't feel comfortable answering any of my questions,
okay.
I mean, don't feel...
Yeah, no,
you're...
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, at that time, 1975, and General Power, he left Laos to Thailand.
Okay.
And then we stayed until 1978. So,
In Laos. So, after he left...
After he left.
In 75.
75.
To Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
So were you still fighting in that
period? We're still fighting until 78. 77, between 77 and 78. And then we escaped. That time I'm 15 years old.
And when you began... When you escaped, or when you began fighting in the army?
When we began to fight.
And can you tell me more about that?
Yeah.
It might be very painful or difficult.
Yeah, okay. After General Wang Tao, they left Laos, so the communists took over Laos. And then... So when the communists took over Laos, so all the they threatened that the boy or man who's 10 years old and up, they're gonna kill all of us. That's why we escaped to living in the jungle. Yet we move to the jungle and fight the family back.
What was the jungle like?
The jungle just like a forest.
But can you paint a picture? Like you say, when you came here, there were no leaves.
Oh, okay.
So what was the jungle? Because I've never been in a jungle.
Oh, we live in the jungle. We have nothing to eat, nothing.
That's right.
Yeah. No clothes, no store, no shopping, no nothing. We just, I don't know what they call, but just built more things like the house. But
from trees?
Yeah, and under the tree, something like that. And just more in there for a week. And we live there for 3 years, 76, 77. We live in almost 3 years, 3.5 years.
And no family, just people you...
Yeah, just all the people who fought back to the family. So,
were the Americans out of there then?
Yes, they are.
They're gone.
They're gone.
They...
Every... everybody that have a power over the unborn. So the communists, they use the small pen and they have the perfect chemical, yellow. You heard of yellow chemical? Yellow ray? Yeah.
They're spraying it.
They're spraying and the paint from the pen. And they, all the people who got the yellow ring,
become very sick.
Yeah, very sick and like just like a cancer, something like that.
Did you get the?
No, not myself. But at that time, I speak a little bit of English. Because in my country, even who know English better will be a better place. Like you'll be a boss.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And at that time, I control a 1,200 soldiers. Yep. And we fought for almost 2 years, and then we lost the fight that we lost because the community, they have an FK. They use the I don't know what to call the something like the tube, something like a tube,
yeah,
long, and they put it in the plane, they put the nails in there.
Nice.
Okay, and when they came and they shoot the nail to the people in jungle. And after we lost the fight, and some of us, we moved to Thailand. So the rest of them, they're still there. Every day now, they're still there.
Isn't there an issue that they're trying to send them back to Laos from Thailand? Fear that they'll send them back?
Yeah, that's why. But those who still back in Laos, because they didn't know that what happened over here. They always thought that over here still have a power, right?
Over
in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
The Hmong people all over the United States don't have a power in going back to help them.
I didn't understand. The ones who are in Laos?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. But those people who are still in the jungle in Laos?
Yes.
They thought the Hmong people who came to the United States, we still have a power. And going back to help them.
They're still dreaming.
Yeah, they still have a dreaming like that. But the reality is none. Over here, it's just a refugee and escape from over the so they have nothing. No.
And what was, you can paint us another picture,
yeah,
of how did you figure out to go to Thailand to escape?
Oh, you mean when we still at Laos?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, I'm going
yeah.
back.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. That time, because Thailand and Laos, just at the river, Mekong River on border. So when we are students, we start going back and forth to Thailand.
How far was the...
Just a bridge, like Michigan and Canada. Just a bridge across the river like that.
But when you see the, you know, the tapestry, the embroidery,
uh-huh,
you see, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just learning.
Oh,
you see the people in the water.
Yeah. That time they don't have the bridge yet.
Oh.
That's right.
Okay.
The bridges they built after the communists took over Laos. After 1975.
After the communists
took over.
And who was the, were the Thai people building the bridge or the?
The bridges are the Australia and Thai and France and Japan. They help each other to build the bridge.
And how big is the
bridge?
The river.
The river is
Hi.
It's just kind of like in Mississippi, like that.
So, what was your? How did you imagine?
Okay, wait, I can't.
From Laos to Thailand. You know, you're going to go across the river.
If you just come in and tour the river and with nothing all daytime, you're not going to swim across the river.
Because they'll find you?
Because they'll find you, and also if the river is, you know, too wide, so you cannot swim. You're not going to jump in the water. And when we came to the river, at night time, so we have a piece of bamboo this long. I have a 2-piece this long, and I type go to here, 1 piece over here and 1 piece over here, and put the string over, and just jump in there and swimming.
Did you know how to swim or no?
Yeah, I do. But I have a four over my cousin's bait. And just type it in my tail, and then
you pulled
it. Yeah, I pulled it. And we took an hour to swim across the river.
Ah, that's what I wanted to
say. Yeah.
Were there people on the other side to help you, or no?
The Thai people, yes. The Thai police. They go around the side, because at that time a lot of more people or Laotian people swim across the river, so they know that they're there.
And then you were in the camp for what, 2 or 3 years?
No, I was in the camp short time. I was in the camp about a year and a half.
And did you think that's where you lived for the rest of your life, or?
No, myself, when I got to this camp, so my brother's already here.
So did he have a similar history as you? Was he in the army, and then?
Oh, my brother, he worked for, my uncle, he worked for CIA. And my brother, my older brother, he worked for CIA. So, and he also worked for, they call, USAID.
USAID?
They spell USAID.
Yes.
And, the American people know him, and when they came to, the camp. So he lived in the camp around 2 years. And they bring him over here to Lansing.
Do you know why Michigan and that he came to Michigan and not Wisconsin?
We have no idea, but just like myself, my brother, he came to Michigan. And he, when I get in the camp and I wrote him, and he wrote back to me, said he lived in Michigan. So we don't know where Michigan looked like. Okay, we're just all blank.
Is your brother still here?
No, he moved to California.
Oh, he moved.
Yeah. And here it's just myself and my another brother who live in Pottersville.
Who lives?
Pottery and my brother. My other brother, we have six brothers.
Six, right.
Yeah.
And your sister?
My sister, she was married and they lived in Vancouver, Canada.
Oh, so people live
in
Vancouver too.
Yeah.
So, can you tell me a little bit now about this organization here?
Oh, okay.
Well, wait, I'm sorry. Let's go back. So what did you do when you came here?
Okay.
You had your brother and a few other, you said there were 12 families?
Yeah, and my first came here, I worked for LCC and worked for University of Michigan and Michigan, Ann Arbor. And after that, I worked for refugee service, with Judy. But a long time ago, Pat, she's the executive director. And we work for refugee, I work for refugee service.
Is that religious or government? Or
just nonprofit. Refugee service, Catholic social service. I work for them.
It's part of Catholic services, social services?
With them.
Oh, with them?
Yeah.
Do you still do this or not?
Not with them, but we're still part of them because right now we can hear now we form a Hmong family association.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Now we form Hmong family association of land sitting here, and then my wife Nancy, she is the executive director of Hmong Family Association.
Director of the
Hmong Family.
Okay.
Okay. And then she
met her here.
Yes, in here. Every day now. And now she works at Tender Care Web, Extended Care Web. And I don't know how Nancy and Judy, they met. And they met each other. Yeah, after Judy met Nancy, and she talked to Nancy, said a lot of different ethnic group, refugee ethnic group came to Nancy. And they don't know how to speak English. They don't know how to get the ride at the bus. They don't know how to get into school. And they don't know how to go into shopping, something like that. And Judy and I and Nancy, we talk and then we form another non-profit organization. We are named World Coalition.
Work?
World. W O L World.
W O L?
World Coalition. Like the world.
So what does this stand for?
World Coalition stands for, because we have a six non-profit non-profit organization. Will come by in one, and we formed the World Coalition, and so now we are still working on that too.
And you help people.
We help people adjust job development, shelter, health, and social service. Assistance and education.
Now, this is your job, or this is volunteer work that you do?
Right now, we still volunteer. The work we still volunteer to to make the work relation work. But now we already approved 9,000 to hire one of the consultants to teach those people who doesn't speak. And doesn't know how to run non-profit organizations.
You say you hired somebody?
Yeah.
Okay.
And after we after the consulting, teach those the people who know how to run their own nonprofit. So we can and we also still work on our bylaw for the work relations. We also apply for the grant from through government. So now we still work volunteer, but we hope the future we may we might get something from that.
And what do you do for your work?
At the you mean the work relations?
No. Is this full time? What do you
No, we just volunteer.
So what do you do for a job?
Oh, myself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Right now I have a heart attack. So I'm not working. Yeah, but I'm just doing something like a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And doing my own internet radio.
Very good.
Yeah, and I'm selling international satellite.
International satellite?
Yeah.
And what did you do before you got
there? Before that, I worked for Catholic Social Service, refugee, and after that, I worked for Lao family, and I worked for more American nonprofit, and I worked for a factory, and my last job, I worked for GM. Yeah. And after that, I got a heart problem. So.
And how many children do you
have? Me and my wife, we have 7 children together.
Uh-huh.
5 girls and 2 boys. And the younger, the older ones are 27 now. And the youngest, he turned 19. And 2 girls, Mary. We have 4 grand, and all my kids one of them, our daughter Mary, and she moved to Fresno, California.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of 5 of them, they went to State University.
Mm-hmm.
And this weekend they are here.
Oh, so you have
but
to be okay.
They're all here this weekend, but they're going to go there tomorrow.
I think what would be helpful if, you know, this is like an introduction, and there's a professor at the university, I think she may be Chinese American, Andrea Louie. And she's organizing a Hmong conference this week at the university.
Who will come and host?
Thursday night, they're showing Gran Torino. And Friday morning.
This kind of thing?
Yeah.
Oh.
And Friday morning, they have an anthropologist who will come to talk about the Hmong people. It's on the campus at the university.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the evening, they have some of the actors and actresses who were in the movie will do like a discussion.
Okay.
So
On the Torino movie, you said? They are actors.
Yes, yes. I think. I'm not sure. This young girl who
The actress. She's my sister-in-law and niece.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I have to continue to read more.
Okay.
But then also to find out where in Michigan the Hmong people have come.
Okay.
Are there any, has anything been written down from the organizations about the history of the Hmong coming to Michigan?
No.
No. Okay, so this is this is my job. Excuse me. to learn about this. Do you have are you familiar with where there are other Hmong in Michigan?
Yeah. Most of the Hmongs live in Michigan, in Detroit. In Pontiac, and Lansing. And Saginaw, they used to, but now just a few families. Or maybe just three or four families up there now.
Right.
They all moved down to Pontiac and Detroit, and some of them, they move out state because of the GM shutdown. And then
oh!
Total Hmong in Michigan, we have 9,000.
9,000
people.
Now or before?
Before.
Because it's like
before GM shut down.
Ah, okay. This is important.
Yeah.
9,000. Now there are maybe 5,000?
Probably 5 or less than that. Because, you know, Lansing, before GM shut down, we have like 2,000 people in here. And right now, we only have like 1,000 people in here. Approximately 1,000.
What did you say?
Approximately 1,000 people right now. So I'm not sure, maybe less than that.
And there are different, what are the other, there's a church?
Yes.
What are the different institutions?
In here, most people, they are not going to church. Okay. They still carry their own.
Which is tied up with nature, yes?
Yeah.
And what about, for example, in November, I went to the New Year celebration in Mason?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Because I had just met Mao.
Mm-hmm. Makeup.
Makeup. Yeah. So she said, if you want to come, come.
Oh.
So my husband and I, we went for a little bit. I think this is a good introduction, but I'll want to talk to you again, if that's okay.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure because we're not being involved with that. Because a long time ago we are separate from that.
From
that community. That New Year, they have their own organization to.
So you don't participate?
No, we are not participating with that, so we're not.
You're more traditional, or?
No, the same.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the same, but we are separating.
Uh-huh. So when you were, after you came here,
mm-hmm.
back in the 70s,
yeah.
Then did you help other people come here? But that wasn't part of what you were.
No, not the part of the we were, but yes and no. Yes, we have to go find a church to sponsor the family who back in Thailand, in the camp, and ask them, or we went to the Catholic Social Service or Lutheran Social Service, ask them to help sponsor, look for sponsor, and make paperwork to sponsor those families. And no, we not do anything with that. We just go and ask them. Yeah.
Are your parents still living?
No, they are
Did they come here or not?
Yes, my parents, my stepmother is still living with my brother in, but my dad still passed away in 1993, yes.
Okay, so as I say, this is the beginning, okay. An introduction. Yes. If you're comfortable to help me more,
mm-hmm.
Okay. As time goes on, because this is a, how do you say, a whole new journey for me.
Alright.
Can I get my piece of paper that says that you're agreed to participate?
Okay.
I left it in the car.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.